Welcome to the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica Coulthard, your host. And each week I chat with amazing entrepreneurs to share what they've done to ignite their business so that you can ignite yours. Hey, it's Jessica, your host. What if I could tell you why you do everything you do? Would you believe me? Well, I think you should, because I have this incredible assessment that I do for my clients. And for all of my listeners, I'm offering it for free. If you want to send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com, I will hook you up. I will tell you why you do everything you do. I will tell you what your personal driving force, your North Star, the reason you do everything you do, why you make every decision you make. You're going to look back over your life and you'll be able to connect all sorts of dots that you didn't see before. It will blow your mind, I promise. I've been doing this assessment with my clients for the last 4 years. Wow, you nailed me. And the beautiful part is that it's not just about knowing this. It's about I actually will show you how to use it. I will show you how to use it to fix relationships. I'm also going to show you how to get rid of bad habits. We're going to dial this in so easily that this will be a no-brainer. You're going to be like, wow, why didn't I know this before? Why don't they teach this in schools? I'm going to show you how to change any area of your life by stepping back, taking the emotion out, throwing in a little logic, and you're going to be able to brainstorm ideas that you never even saw before. That is the power of this assessment. So send me an email to ignitedentrepreneurs@gmail.com and I'll hook you up. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have with me a repeat guest, Kevin Foreman of BSB Con. He has been on the show. This will be his third time on my show. The first time was episode number 69, where you can go back and listen to more about what his company does in regards to business strategy, sustainability. And I was lucky enough to have him offer to interview me in episode number 79 for my anniversary episode. And so tonight I wanted to bring him back because there's something really exciting going on in his industry. And I wanted to have an opportunity for him to come and share. So Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jessica. It's great to be here.
I'm excited because this is something I know absolutely nothing about. And I'm just so glad that you're coming on to be able to share more of what it is, because I think it's probably something that a lot of people can benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready to talk about it. There's so much anticipation.
Awesome. Okay, so this is a new grant that the Canadian government has come up with, put out to people?
Yeah, so, okay, this is a grant called the Can Export SME Grant. There's actually a few different streams of it, but the Can Export SME is the main one. It was created in 2016 by a federal Liberal government. So it is a tiny bit political, might I say. But I mean, any grant from any specific government, I think, has a little bit of underlying politicalization in it. But yeah, so it's from 2016, and it's supposed to help businesses, small to medium-sized enterprises, that is, expand into international markets to sell their products or services in other markets outside of Canada.
Okay, so like who would be eligible for this grant then?
Okay, so you need to be a for-profit Canadian business, incorporated legal entity or LLP. You need to have a Canada Revenue Agency business number and 500 or fewer employees. And then this is kind of one of the main ones. Your revenue for the past year needs to be between $100,000 to $100 million. So yeah, a lot of even really small companies often are eligible for it. And yeah, that's it. Those are the criteria.
Okay, so when you say they can expand into other markets, does that mean somebody who's selling a physical product, or does that include services?
It can be products, it can be services. It really doesn't matter. It's often services.
Okay, that's actually quite interesting.
Yeah.
Especially for you know, for online businesses. I mean, we're basically all global now. So the idea of being able to expand. So when you say expand, how does this, like, how can somebody take advantage of this, and what are the benefits of them doing that?
So here's what it looked like, and here's what it looks like now. So let's go about a year and a half ago. There's basically these different activities. So because it's government money, so we'll just kind of rewind for a second. Each project that you create, so when you apply to this, which is all done online, when you apply, your project can be anywhere from $20,000 to $100,000. So what you do is you apply online through their online portal. And in that, you choose your target markets. So let's say you want to work in France, you want to export your products there. Then you would choose that target market, you build a case around it, and you would have to outline how big your project is. Most companies say, yeah, we want to have a $100,000 project because we want to receive the most money. Well, if you're accepted, you receive in retro pay, once you've completed the activities, 75% of the total. So if you have a $100,000 project, you would receive $75,000. And if you have a $20,000 project, you'd receive $15,000. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So I want to understand. So what would be a project? So can you give me an example of, please.
Yes. So this is where your eligible activities come in, because since it's taxpayer dollars, you can't just be saying, oh, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They have clear activities, and there's from A to G in different categories. It might be hiring an interpreter. It might be a consultant that has expertise in that market that's going to help you in facilitating your growth. It might be, and this is where things really have changed. A few years ago, it would have been attending maybe some trade fairs, things in person. Well, with good old COVID-19, the government actually stayed on top of it in regards to, from a business perspective with this, and they quite quickly pivoted eligible activities, which made it even more popular. And what they did is they said, we're going to pay up to $50,000 per project. So it could be half of your project, for search engine optimization, for social media marketing, for an e-commerce store. They understood that everything is going online, almost everything. And they said, well, we need to change that because we want our Canadian companies to be competitive internationally. And a whole bunch of companies have just gone, wow, that is fantastic. And they've really gravitated towards it. So yeah, the increase in spending for marketing, in SEO, in social media marketing, in building an e-commerce store, that really made this an even more popular grant.
So if I wanted to hire a VA in Thailand, that would basically be covered under this grant?
No. So
okay.
So here's the thing. This has to be, there's a few different rules here. So let's say you wanted to grow your business and expand into Thailand, let's say. If you wanted to do that in the last year, your revenue would have to be less than $100,000 or less than 10% of your overall revenue as a business. So essentially, they need you to be expanding into a market internationally that you're not already in, or you're not already like heavily invested in. So that's important. So most companies go to a brand new market. Like the most popular one is by far the United States. Now, I wanted to hold that because I'm going to make it a little bit even more confusing. There's four markets in the world that they've divided, because they're so big, into four different target markets. So each application, like let's say you want to expand your business into the States. Well, you can have anywhere from one target market, which is a location, to five. So the states is divided into four different parts: the South, the Northeast, the Midwest, and the West. So you would choose, you'd say, okay, I've done this research and I'd like to move into, let's say, the Northeast or United States, and you're going to expand your podcast there. And that's going to bring tax dollars back to Canada and everybody's happy. So there needs to be a case for why you need these funds, why you're going to a new market. It can't be, oh, I want to hire a VA in Thailand. It's going to help my domestic business. That's not what it's about. It's about exporting and growing into international markets and that being a net positive for Canada.
Okay. Now I get it. Thank you for that. I know I'm coming into this completely blank, so I might ask questions that, you know, you might think are not right, but I just want to make sure that I understand it so that the audience can understand it as well.
Yeah, exactly. I want to kind of summarize it a few times. So it's essentially you're asking for funds. So for a $20,000 to $100,000 project that you're going to receive, if you're successful, 75% of, to expand into an international market where you're going to sell them your products or your services. I mean, technically, everything could be done remotely. If you have, let's just say you build apps, you're a technology business. If you've done your research and you know that there's a market for your services, let's say in Western United States, if you can explain in your application, hey, we've done this research, we have something unique, and this market in the Western United States, there's a whole bunch of these companies. That's another thing. You have to explain which company specifically that you plan on actually marketing to, and you have to explain your marketing plan as well. Because that's basically always an expense in most of these activities. So yeah, if you can make a case around that and say, hey, we want to expand our business through search engine optimization, through a bit of business to business facilitation, like if you have a contact there who's going to help in building that relationship, and then we're going to sell our services remotely from wherever we are in Canada. In addition to that, there has to be some very valid points in regards to how it's going to help Canada. So there's a whole bunch of different, it could be job creations, it could be increased investments, it could be increase in sales. But the government and the good people at CanExport, they want to see that, one, you have a plan, two, every single dollar is going to go to a specific place. Like, you have to really outline it and be super detailed in your application. And then overall, that it's going to be a positive for Canada, whether it's, and it doesn't have to be increased tax dollars. It could be a whole bunch of new jobs, Canadian jobs. It could be anything, really. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to make a pretty clear application. So, yeah.
Okay. So now, who would most likely be accepted for this? Like, who, in your opinion, should be applying for these grants?
Don't do it if you're just doing it for free money. Like, you're just going to waste your time. It is a process to apply. Like, anybody can apply as long as they meet the eligible criteria, but do it if you're actually wanting to sell your products or your services internationally. I mean, one of the main ones is you have $100,000 minimum in the last year of revenue to 100 million. So a lot of small to medium sized enterprises, meet that criteria. So it could be any company, but here's what I'll get into. They have a mandate, as I said before, it's a little bit political, which in many ways is a good thing, but they have a mandate to really help underrepresented groups, women-led organizations, visible minorities, people from the LGBTQ2 community, indigenous businesses, which is fantastic. So if you know that your business is one of those, you have, a better chance than other businesses of being accepted, which is awesome. I think we should be supporting, disadvantaged groups. Should be making things more equal. So yeah, anybody can apply at the end of the day, as long as you meet the criteria. But as I've said, if you're from a group that's a minority, you have, I would say, a fair chance, as long as you have an application that clearly outlines, just like everybody else's, how you're going to spend the funds, your action plan. So anybody, but yeah, those groups as well.
Okay. And so if you apply for this grant, and then let's just say that you're lucky enough to actually get accepted, this is money they give you up front, or is it money that you spend they give you back?
Yeah. So for a while it was, they were writing checks. And most recently, it is not that way. It is retroed. So they'd say, okay, you're approved. Sometimes, here's another thing I should say, if your project is for $100,000 total, again, you would have to pay $25,000 of that by the end yourself. But it's not always, they don't always accept the full amounts. They might say, hey, look, we accepted $50,000 of your project. So regardless, either way, no, you have to, which is a problem, you have to pay for all this yourself. And then they retro it, like every few months you submit your receipts. And yeah, so gives business owners a lot less freedom going about it in that way. But it's, at the end of the day, it is free money. So it is retro. You do have to retro it.
Okay. Is it taxable?
Yes. I believe all this, it works out the exact same way as any other spending would happen. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So what's the typical process? Like what's involved what's involved with the actual application process? And do you know if there's from time of submittal to the time of approval or disapproval, do you know what the timelines are, like any of those kind of details?
Mm-hmm. So here's one thing. When you sign in, if you type in Canada Export, if you go to our website and get a link to it, because we do write the Canada Export grants, that's something that we do. If you're interested in it, we can write it on your behalf. And help you with that. Now, that's an option, but you also have an option to do it yourself. Either way, you need to go on the Trade Commissioner website, type in Can Export, go to their online portal, you put in your username, create your own application. And once it's started, you can sign in and out. There's basically like 13 different pages that you have to go and write things on. You can sign in and out as many times as you want. So an application can stay valid for, like, to the best of my knowledge, months on end. Usually you try to write it within a few weeks. We've written them in as little as 3 days, 3 or 4 days one time. But usually it takes about 10 to 14 days to really write a good application. But what happens is once you get to the last page, page 13, and you click submit, from that day on, the government promises that they will give you a yes or a no within 60 days. So what you want to do is when you're writing your application, let's say like right now we're about to submit one tomorrow, so the 31st, you want to give it at least 60 days from the start of your project. So you have to clearly say on there when the start of your project is and when the finish is. You want to give yourself at least 60 days because you're not going to get an answer within 60 days. So it's always best to give yourself 60 or 70 days to give them enough time to look at a review and then to start it. Does that part make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious. So like, let's just say that, somebody is just hearing about this now and they've already started down the process of a project. They've already started it. Can they go in and do an application and then say, get a yes and have it be retroed to when their project started? Or does the project have to start after you've been accepted?
That's a really good question. So you could, like right now, if you were writing one right now and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to submit it tomorrow. And you were confident you've reviewed it all. You could submit it tomorrow and you could make the start date in 30 days from now. You could start it tomorrow. It could be the next day after your application. here's what the Trade Commissioner Service says. They say, first of all, if you do that, you're at your own risk of going for it without us approving it, which means we might say no, and that means that we don't have to pay you any money. They also say, if we really like your application, we might approve it. And in that scenario, we would retro you based off of wherever you started. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I'm just thinking for people that are listening, if they've already, you know, started down the process of a project and it would be starting prior to those 60 days, it's still worth it for them to put in the application then, I guess, was what I was trying to get at.
It is. So you have a few options. If you're a company that has, if you know in your heart, you're like, I am just for sure going to expand into this area and I'm going to do this, you have a few options. You could spend all that capital ahead of time, knowing you're going to do it, on all the things that you're going to spend it on anyways. And then you could start like a fresh part of that quote unquote expansion through the Can Export program. So you could do, let's just say you're building out your e-commerce store right now to set it up for that expansion into wherever, Las Vegas or into Australia, wherever. So you're building out your e-commerce store, so that is great for that. Well, if you already know you're going to spend that money, you could just make it so it's a lot less stressful and just go about that. And then you could say, well, I still need to spend another $100,000 on hiring a consultant to tell us about, you know, the different laws and regulations working in Australia. So why don't we just, instead of stressing ourselves out and can't export, let's just start the process, like find who we're going to use, create the application for that, make it all super clear, explain that it's a part of this wider expansion. And you could put it 60 days out to the start date or 70 days out, and then it could just take the stress off of everything. You could do that, but you could also just say, you know what, my project is only the e-commerce store and a little bit of other money. And then you could start like the day after you submit the application, you can make that the start date and you could just risk it. You have either option. The safest way is to go with giving yourself at least 60 days from when you click submit to when you actually start the project. I'd say like 65 days to be safe.
Okay. So what do you think has made this such a success in the recent months?
Really that, like kind of pivoting the program and setting it up so that, e-commerce and search engine optimization, are like available or eligible expenses. That was, that was a really big part of it. And I don't know, like, I don't mean to hate on any government ever, but it just always seems like, you know, government bureaucracy, it's always behind. And, you can say whatever you want about the federal government that's in right now, but all I'm saying is I'm pretty impressed with this program. Like, I think it's, if you talk to business people anywhere in Canada, I think anybody who knows about it would just say that it's been a pretty awesome program. You know, it's really helping us do what we should do, which is be more competitive. And that's another thing that you'll read. We've written a few articles on the Can Export grant for our own search engine optimization. And, you know, it talks about expanding into international markets and why is that a positive thing for Canada? And one of the points that they make is, and this is on the government's website, is that when Joe's Apple shop expands into another market and they have to compete there for a prolonged period of time, what happens? Like, they become more competitive. They learn things that they didn't learn just competing against Pat's, you know, Apple shop in a different province in Canada. They learn things that a different Apple shop, you know, had. and then what they do is they bring that back to Canada and they're even more competitive here. And I don't know, like, as far as business goes, like, I think that that's a positive thing. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just concerned because it seems like we make all these great things in Canada, and then what happens? We sell our companies to the States, and, you know, we just keep, oh, big company sold to some bigger American company, and we just keep losing out. So I'm all for, like, Canadian companies expanding into international markets and keeping that talent here as much as possible.
So my question, because, you know, I've done a lot of filing paperwork over the years with different things, And I'm guessing that, you know, to have somebody like yourselves that are familiar with it, and you've been studying it, and you're, you know, this is what you do, having somebody like yourself complete this paperwork and this application for me would be better, like a better chance of actually having it get through all the red tape and be, you know, accepted, because you probably know what they're looking for, I would imagine.
Yeah, it is. So, of course, you have complete freedom to write it yourself. And honestly, you might possibly be accepted. It's not like it, if you don't go with us or another grant writing company, there's no chance. Like, I'm not going to say that. You do have a chance, but I would say you're probably better off hiring a grant writing firm like ourselves. I'll just talk about that for a second. So there's such a wide variance for different like pricing plans for that. Some companies will say, we'll write it for you for free, completely free. But if you get approved, we'll take 20% of whatever you're approved for. And that will be due within 20 days of you getting the news. So even if that has to be retro, so let's just say a company wrote a grant and they received the full three quarters and their project was $100,000. So they received $75,000. The government said that they were going to retro them for 20% of that. They would owe to a company. So that's like crazy, which that's around $16,000 around. I know I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head, but anyways, that's a lot. So with us, we're the complete opposite. We take about $2,500 to write the whole thing. It takes a lot of time to write a really good application. We involve our clients in it heavily, and we are very straightforward with them and tell them if something needs more detail, and we help them too. If they don't know a part of it, then we say, okay, let's figure this out. We work with them. But yeah, we just take kind of the money up front to write it, and we always do our best to have happy clients. We want people to always be successful when working with us. So yeah, we take that part of it pretty seriously, but yeah, that's how we do it. But there's a whole bunch of different offers that you'll find out there. But it is best to have a grant writer. I would recommend it personally. You know, some people are experts in doing this and that, and we're experts in writing grants and business plans. So I would recommend it.
Yeah. And so that's actually something that you were mentioning to me, is that your company, BSBCon, is actually starting to get more involved in grant writing, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's kind of an interesting thing, because when you look at government funding or grant writing, right now it's a great market. There's one company in Canada that's very large in it and has been super successful. And the thing about that is that can really change on a change of government. Let's just say a conservative federal government came in. Nothing against them, but if they did, there's a chance that a lot of these grants would be either removed, dissolved, or would be shrunken down quite a bit. If that happens, and if you're in the business of writing grants, that's obviously not going to be a good thing. So it's not our core service by any means, business plan writing is, but it definitely goes hand in hand with writing business plans and whatnot. So this is like the core one that we're really starting off with. And it's like a great opportunity to meet a lot of other businesses, small to medium sized enterprises across Canada that are doing exciting things, and kind of start to build the relationships so we can either help them write another grant. That's another thing I just want to talk about. Let's say you apply tomorrow, submit your application, and you're approved 70 days from then, or 60 days from then, or 50 days from then. Once you've finished your project in, let's say, 2 months or a year, however long you choose for it to be, as soon as it's done, you can go right back in and create another project in a new target market or another target market. So there's companies that we know of that have written like four different CanExport grants and been approved since 2016. So that's kind of an exciting part. So yeah. But yeah, we want to, you know, this is a grant that we're excited about. We think it's a positive thing for Canadian businesses, and it's a great opportunity to meet other businesses and build that relationship and help them write a few different successful grants. And yeah, it's been good so far. Enjoy it.
Awesome. Is there a place where people could go to see what kind of grants are available for different small businesses?
There is. The place that I honestly look is one of our biggest competitors in writing grants, but I'll just say it because I guess it's free, free advertising for them. And we always just want people to get the best information possible. It's on mentorworks.ca. They are very big in government funding in Canada. And when you go to their homepage, they have a link to basically every grant that there is in all the different provinces and all the different types. I will say when you go through there, not everything is up to date. Not all of them, like some grants are just around year round and some run out of funds and then they close. So don't get too excited. If you see something, look into it a little bit further because it's not necessarily going to be available right now. But yeah, that's the best place to look for them. For us, we're boring. We just have the Can Export. We just focus on that. but yeah, I mean, that would be the best place to honestly look for it. And just type in whatever you're looking for, right? There's so many different types. I'm going to say one other one and give a shout out to this other grant writing company that we're working with. It's called grantfinders.ca. And if you're looking for like an employment grant or training, for example, if you wanted to hire a student that's in your field, like for us, we're looking at hiring an MBA, a junior MBA over the summer. They'll pay sometimes up to 50 to 70% essentially, up to $5,000 or $7,000 of the work that they do over the summer, over any period really. So yeah, that one's Grant Finders. And yeah, there's so many different types of grants out there right now. And it's really important to kind of speak to a grant consultant or somebody in the field who can point you in the right direction. And
awesome. So while I have you here, and in case some people don't want to go back and listen to your previous episode, I would love for you to share more about the business plan work that you do and just what BSB Con is all about, because I know it's your passion and I love to hear people talking about their passion, and there might be somebody who, you know, would love to hear more about that as well.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, so there's really three different arms to our business. There's the business plans, grant writing, which is specifically the CanExport grant right now. And then there's pitch decks. Pitch decks and business plans kind of go hand in hand. So in business plans, there's many different types. We write business plans for immigration. There's a whole bunch of different immigration programs that if international entrepreneurs want to immigrate to Canada, they need a business plan for that to show the government of Canada. So there's so many different provincial and federal options for that. So that's one arm of it. And then also there's strategic. So often like established businesses that are going through a transformation, often a digital transformation. They're like, hey, we've never really had a business plan. We need one now. And what we do there is we partner with either the digital marketing company of their choice or our own. They kind of have a significant role in developing the business plan because the digital marketing pivot is a huge part of that. We create a business plan that encompasses the human resources, the operational side, the marketing, and we create business plans for strategic businesses. We also do investment, which if you're not a technology company right now, it's tough to do. Sometimes people have connections and they go, hey, I have this investor who wants to invest. We need an investment business plan. We can do that for sure. All I'm saying is if you don't have a technology-based business and if you don't have any connections in that, it can be a challenge to find investors. And then we have bank loan business plans, which are probably the most popular right now for us at least. And the one that's been something that we've had good success with our clients is the Futurepreneur BDC program. That's for entrepreneurs that are aged 18 to 39. There's a few other criteria, but you can receive anywhere from $20,000 to $60,000 for that. And that is a bank loan. That program's great. You get a mentor. And for a lot of businesses, that $60,000 is what they need to really get off their feet and get the business going. So we actually write business plans specific to that. We have a landing page on our site for that. And yeah, that's a big one. And then the other one is, let's say you want to open a restaurant or a boat rental, anything with machinery or leasehold improvements. There is the Canadian Small Business Financing Program, which is basically a loan for things that the government can get back if you were to default, like machinery, equipment, or leasehold improvements. That one is for, like I said, for restaurants or for boat rentals, things like that. And that is something that you would just go to your bank for. And I would personally say RBC is the best because they have their own division for that, whereas other banks kind of get a little bit, not scared off, but you just have to try your bank and see. But I would recommend, if you didn't have any preference, I would try RBC because I know they have a division set up for that and you can really fast track the process. So yeah, we write business plans in all these different areas. So when somebody comes to us and say, hey, I might need a business plan, we try to really hear what they're trying to do, where they're at. And I'm going to tell one story before we end the conversation in regards to why a business plan is a good idea. We had this client, I'll call him Client A. They wanted to buy a franchise, and it was an existing franchise, a coffee shop. And they said, oh, I want in the first year for it to be, it's going to be $200,000, we think, of revenue. So we said, okay, no problem. And then they said, we also want to be able to break even. So I said, okay. And I looked at their previous financials from the franchise in the previous years. And it kind of looked like it was actually going to be more like $350,000 in order, like they would need to make $350,000 to have the revenue to break even, but they were projecting that they're only going to bring in $200,000. Well, they're still deciding right now what they're going to do, but in writing an honest business plan and showing them at least what my findings were, or our findings were as a team, if they move forward with that, there's a chance they will be in the red, $150,000 in the first year. Now, obviously, they have some options there. They could spice up their marketing a little bit if they had a really solid marketing plan and potentially bring in more clients to balance that out while spending a little bit more marketing. There's some options there, but if you don't have a solid business plan and you go into that situation, you could be in a really bad spot where all of a sudden you've bought this franchise and you are going to be owing $150,000 instead of breaking even, quote unquote, in your first year. So yeah, it's an important process, and it's worth it. In my first business, I didn't have a business plan, and I was like, oh, it's all in my head. I got it. And after 3 years, I kind of walked away from it because I didn't have a business plan and didn't want to do so. It's one of those things, right? It's nobody really thinks a business plan is, you know, nobody really wants to pay for a business plan. It's really something smart to do. And I can almost guarantee that you'll learn something in the end. And but anyways, back to Cat Expert Grants.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think it's great that, you know, you see the need out there and that you're able to fill it for people, because, you know, like I was saying, it's like having to fill out all these documents and not really understanding the rules and the regulations and what works, what doesn't work. Like, it's so great to have somebody that specializes in that to be able to guide you, right?
Absolutely. It's worth it. Yeah. It's great. I hope more people get involved and try to write it. It's an exciting grant, and yeah, it's worth it, I think.
No, it sounds awesome. So thank you, Kevin, so much for, you know, coming on and just, you know, putting it out there. I don't think enough people know about, you know, all the possibilities and the options that are available to, you know, like you say, small and medium businesses, right? So I think it's great that, you know, companies like yourself are out there and you're sharing this information to help support those businesses and give them those opportunities that they didn't even know were available. So
absolutely.
Well, once again, so BSBCon is your website.
Yes,
.com. Okay. And that's the best way to get a hold of you is just to go to the website and they'll be able to find information to be able to connect with you to learn more about this there.
Exactly. I mean, or there's another option too. You could call our toll-free number at 1-888-880-1898.
Perfect. I will put that one in the show notes for sure for people. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, Kevin. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. You're a lot of fun and very knowledgeable in all of this stuff. So I really appreciate you being on.
Thanks. I'll be on soon and we'll talk about something else.
Sounds like a plan. I like it.
Thanks okay. So much.
And that's another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs.